Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Congratulations, everyone. You made it through your Monday.
Barely.
Happy Monday, everyone. Mondays can mean many things. They can mean it's been a long start to the work week. It can mean that, gotta get back on the budget and, you know, offset what money we spent over the weekend. Or it can mean you get to listen to your favorite sports talk program, and that's Crusader Talk on a Monday night.
Yes. Where I had fried chicken Wednesday fried chicken on a Sunday the day before.
I was going to ask you about it to start the show.
That's why I'm thrown off. That's why I don't know what day of the week it is.
Your body's saying it must be Thursday.
I was at the calf yesterday.
That's it. How was that, by the way?
Oh, that was fantastic. Took the entire family out. My sister was in town from Memphis. My parents were on campus. My sister was pulling up to campus, and she was going, oh, my gosh. None of this was here.
Because
the last time she's been on campus, listen to this, like 06. It's been almost two decades. So for her to see the new William Carey, she was blown away. My parents were impressed. They remember the old Southern Miss calf 25 years ago. So, you know, when I was a student. And so they go back there and they're like, this is fantastic. And it had the, I mean, there were people just kept coming in after church, and they kept coming in, and there were people coming in at 12:45. We got there at 11:30, and then it just started kind of filling up. And, you know, I mean, was it full? No. Was it half full? Yes. And then people could just be relaxed and weren't rushed, and it was just very enjoyable.
And you know what this means, Josh, us talking about the fried chicken at William Carey. That means that Dalton, who was not with us for the last podcast recording, didn't get to hear of your plans of going, so he's wondering where was his invite.
Well, you know,
Dalton, if you would have tuned in to the recording of the podcast, you would have known.
Sunday lunch is now a thing at Carey.
Oh, no, trust me. I know. My wife saw it on Facebook, and she's already saying, oh, we got to go. We got to go, because I've been telling her how good it is, how good the buffet is, and I've not had a chance to take her yet.
This is some free advertising.
Let me tell you a cheat code for the calf, too. During the school year, you have all the toppings for the ice cream. They've got all the swirl and the chocolate and the vanilla and all that. And they have, you know, sprinkles and mini chocolate chips and crunched Oreos, all that stuff. But they have to take it away for the Fuge kids. All the campers, the summer campers, they'll make a mess. It'll just be toppings everywhere. No toppings during the week. But on Sunday the toppings are back. So you had all the desserts. You had homemade pound cake. So one of the ladies in the back had made homemade pound cake. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. You got to have the workout scheduled before or after you're going to the calf, because you're getting off the caloric intake budget.
You know, I remember Caleb, we had gone, maybe a few months ago. Caleb had taken me. I had not been back on campus since I really graduated in 2020. And that was basically to go back and pick up my my degree. Because remember, back in 2020, none of us in that graduating class had a graduation. So they basically just said, all right, come pick up your degree. And at that point, everything was still under construction. So I hadn't seen anything they had done.
It's incredible.
We walked in there, and I was like, this is not the same place that it was. And the food was not the same either. It was so good. I mean,
yep. Tip of the cap to Dr. Burnett on making that happen.
Absolutely.
Can y'all tell it's the summer in our whole entire first segment? It's talking about food.
Look, it is vacation season.
Amen.
We've moved out of baseball
that.
Season into vacation season, recruiting season, convention season.
It is convention season.
Everybody's been at the conventions. Golf season for us.
Not for Coach Mixon and company.
Yeah, I think Coach's got a big golf trip coming up.
Yeah.
Coach English, they've got a big golf trip coming up. And then we've started to put our eyes on some schedules. You're going to be busy.
Yes.
Shortly.
Yes,
in the fall.
Very busy. In fact, if you like a homestand of games with William Carey soccer, you are in for a treat in the year of our Lord 2025. Because I can't remember the exact number that we tallied up, but I believe it was 10 games in a row will be at Danny Owens Field throughout September, early October.
It's about time we started scheduling like LSU, Ohio State, Alabama in football for soccer. You know, if you're on that level in terms of, you know, national semifinalists, we should only go on the road for road conference games. I'm all for it.
And that's almost entirely true. That's number one, or that is a number that I do have memorized. Five total men's soccer games that are scheduled on the road, outside of tournament play, but five. One against LSUA to start off the year, and then a couple conference games in late October.
Save all the travel money for the national tournament.
That's it.
for everything that you want to do at the national, which the national tournament is going to be in Pensacola, Foley, Orange Beach area for men's this year, somewhere in that general area.
Yeah. So I remember it moved, and it's
out of the frozen tundra.
Out of the frozen tundra. Very windy up there where it's been, but it'll be good to get them back down locally. But looking forward to that. We'll start counting down the days until soccer begins, even basketball when that begins. Volleyball is around the corner. They have the complete opposite of the men's soccer team as far as homestand versus away. They are on the road a ton for the start of the year, all to play in a whole bunch of classics against pretty good teams, getting exposure to upper-level competition, but also getting outsiders opportunities to see William Carey, also in kind of a recruiting aspect of just getting your name out there, getting to places where the hotbeds of talent are. Opportunity for Coach Shirley and for the girls of the team to really put their names out there.
Right. So we'll be following from a literal distance for those first few weeks, maybe somewhere 8 to 9 matches or so forth over those 3 weekends at a minimum. And then early September, around September 2nd, is when it'll be the first match at Carey.
Yeah. So a whole lot to come with that set of sports. But one thing that's in session right now, though it's not a William Carey-sponsored athletic program, is Hattiesburg Football Club is off to a raucous start. And there are some familiar names that are participating in that this year. I know you and Clayton have gotten a chance to be a part of some of that action already, and already some fun had.
Oh, it was good. It was good. Only doubleheader of the year was on this past Saturday. And so the ladies picked up a 3-1 win over Baton Rouge. The men picked up a 1-0 win over Mississippi Brea out of Clinton, Mississippi, if I'm not mistaken. It's out of the Jackson metro area. But the men are now 3-1-1. Ladies picked up their first win, but Hattiesburg product Catherine Terrell was back with the team. She's going to be going to Greece to play professionally.
Catherine or Kendall?
Kendall. Yes, Kendall. Excuse me. Kendall Terrell. And Tatum's her sister, correct?
I can't remember that whole family. Yes. I know of Lakin. Kendall, who used to play Kendall. Basketball.
Kendall had a world-class goal in that game. Christina Salmon had a tremendous goal. Christina just kind of posted up at the top of the box, top right corner of the box, just a little spin move, put the ball out in front, and then just slammed it in the back of the net. Was tremendous. So you have Valau, Salmon, those type players, those tons of Carey connections in that group, Ella Jeffcoat and so forth, that are going to – some that have made impacts, some players that are coming into the Carey program on the women's side that will make impacts. But with Terrell, that was her first match. They've had a lead in every one of those matches through that 0-2-1, 0-2-1, so two losses, one tie start. I think they're going to get really hot, go on a nice little winning streak here, do very, very well. And then, of course, the men, boy, the men just have guys from all over the place. Some of the guys that are playing on that HFC men's team could actually end up on a Carey men's roster that aren't already on the roster. So that could be big, some of the top-tier players as well. So all in all, tremendous to have HFC in town, having another great summer. The easiest way to kind of make it out to see one of those teams play is just have Saturday evenings in the back of your mind. And if you have a Saturday evening or two that are available and you go and check the schedule, there's going to be a home game. There's going to be a home match for one of the two, and it'll be a great chance to come out and support.
Which is good for you and Clayton as well, to keep y'all busy.
Oh, it is keeping us very busy. We actually had the one little rain cloud that popped up the whole night, popped up right on top of Tatum Park. And so we were able to scoot everything in and get it under the tent.
I was about to say, that equipment has seen some rain before.
Yeah, so we were able to scoot it all in under the tent. It was gone in just a few minutes, cooled things off, and then thank goodness we were on the turf. So that made it nice as well, cooled things off. But, no, I'm excited about what the summer holds there. Is it just me, or does it feel like that it's already July or August?
There's a little bit of a kind of a fast-paced feel right now, like we're marching straight onto the start of the season because we had so much news to talk about.
Right, and it's not, and yet, so I don't even know. Like, I didn't know it was Monday, like I told you. Like, if my wife would not have reminded me, you would have been flying solo to some point in the show because my wife, she said so graciously, honey, are you leaving for the show? Oh, yeah, it's Monday.
Hey, but never you fear, because I had an ace up my sleeve, and that is our very own Director of Athletics, Tracy English, is in the building today as we get to talk a little bit about Wendy Hoag, new softball coach at William Carey, returning softball coach at William Carey, if you want to call it that, which, by the way, if you're listening on the radio right now and missed our latest episode, which was online only, you can go back and listen to that full interview, unencumbered, uninterrupted from commercial breaks, all brought to you commercial free. But coming up next, Tracy English joins us to talk about that and a whole lot more. Stay tuned as you listen to Crusader Talk.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
We're rolling right along here on this Monday. Glad to have you with us on Crusader Talk. Didn't introduce ourselves earlier. Caleb Hamill. To my right is Josh West. Behind the board, Dalton Stanford. And now joining us in studio, special guest. Always like to have him on the program with some regularity, and that's Director of Athletics, Tracy English. And Coach, Josh and I were joking about this last episode about how when you took this role on as, at the time, interim athletics director and then full-time, it became kind of a traveling thought of, you know, one of the big things about Carey's next athletic director is that they're going to have some big hires waiting in the wings with, you know, the retirement looming of Coach Nye and Coach Halford. Thought big things of, you know, men's basketball, baseball. He's going to have some people ready for that. And lo and behold, your first two hires are neither of those, women's basketball and softball.
Right.
And I feel like you probably knew that this was going to become more of your full-time thing, being athletics director than women's basketball coach. But did you in any shape or form imagine that that would be the trajectory or timeline of hires when you took this?
Not really. I mean, for the last 2 years, maybe even 3 years, we've been discussing behind the scenes who was going to be next, that kind of thing, and was never those were not the ones. So it was interesting. It's an interesting thing. So,
hey.
And then you get what we got. So,
yeah.
But we haven't had a chance to talk to you though about the obvious hire for Coach G, for Coach Gehriga. That's just something that has been coming from a mile away, as the old saying goes, and so excited. And it's just, I can't wait to work with her in that new capacity.
I'm so excited for Jessica. She's put everything into it and she's getting everything out of it. And I'm excited to watch her, the product that she puts out there, and watch her develop her own system. It's just going to be a lot of fun for me. Just being in that seat for so long and that's who I wanted to roll it over to, and it was timing was perfect. So I really can't wait till it starts.
And then the obvious one that we talked about just a second ago was the return of Coach Wendy Hoag. Now, walk us through a little bit about what the conversation was like. Let's start off with Coach Fletcher, who I think was giving the idea that retirement was, you know, coming in the next year or two or so, and all of a sudden the option is there of Wendy Hoag to come back, or maybe it was pitched. Tell us a little bit about what that whole process and timeline was to where we are today.
Well, first of all, Craig Fletcher, great job. He's done a great job.
Oh, tremendous.
We really enjoyed having him as our head coach, and he's done a great job, and he is what we what we want to look like when he's, you know, running his program. But he kind of wobbled back and forth about, you know, when he was going to hang it up. Just wasn't really sure. We had meetings with him from time to time, and then he kind of got wind of Wendy wanting the job back, you know, or just us talking to Wendy about the job, and mm-hmm. he thought it was a great idea for him to take a step back, and he had a date. I mean, he had a date when he wanted to walk away, and this would just fit in perfectly. Now, as far as Wendy goes, I didn't have a whole lot to do with that. That came about with Dr. Burnett behind the scenes, talking with her, trying to get a temperature in the room, how, you know, what she felt like, because we knew Craig's time was coming to an end, and I think he negotiated that whole thing, and I was in on a little bit of it. I met with her or talked with her a couple of times, and it was everybody. You know, it came together, and everybody was pretty happy about it. And I just think Wendy's got one of the better softball minds in the Southeast. She's done a great job wherever she's been. She's a class act. Her program will be run the right way, which is, you know, NAIA slogan now. You know,
right.
So I just think it's a perfect fit for us, and I'm really happy that she's back. Just can't wait for her to put her product on there again and see how that goes.
I would think that the recruiting impact would be immediate for Wendy with her connections around being in the MHSAA for recent years, and then, of course, her connections to the JUCO circuit as well. I just think across the board, I think immediate recruiting impacts.
Absolutely. It's like I said, she's got a great mind. She's got great connections. She and Jessica are a lot alike when it comes to that. They both work really hard recruiting. There's not another person in the Southeast that recruits as hard as Jessica does, and Wendy's in that same category. So
I think I can fit right in with the two of them, because I was with Joy Lee for so many years, 10 years with Joy Lee. And so to be able to see, I don't think I've ever seen a harder worker in any sport anywhere ever. And so being around Coach Garriga, it took me a little bit to get used to Coach Garriga, because when she walks out on the floor out of the locker room, game face is on. And I shared with her that. I said, hey, I'm always giving you your space. You have the power to tell me no. If ever you need to tell me no for a request on game day, you do that. And so it worked out well. So I'm looking forward to that big time, certainly.
If Coach Hogue is anything of a recruiter like Coach Garriga is, just from the base level of knowledge that I have, carries him for a treat.
Yeah, absolutely. They're the same. I mean, they put the same work in. They're the same. You'll see. It'll be immediate.
But what about now? What do you think the symmetry with Wendy building the program, as she talked about last week, to now coming back to the Cary, whose brand's never been stronger, fusing those two back together? Her last game that she coached in, Wendy Hogue, was a championship. So she takes that championship pedigree that was just right there in the last game she coached with William Cary on an all-time high. That's great symmetry.
It's just good for us. That's all I can say. I mean, it's just really good for us. She's going to come in, and she's going to take another step. I just know she will. I mean, if it wasn't at the level it was, she'd build it up to that level. But she's walking in a great situation with her recruiting and her knowledge of the game and her connections. She's going to walk in and she'll raise it up. I mean, I just got back from Montgomery conference meetings, summer meetings, and that's all the softball people want to talk about. You know, they're a little nervous about that.
Oh, sure, sure.
Hey, we like to hear that the pressure's on there.
Yeah.
And just that's a good transition point to talk about the conference and the state of it right now. There are usually some, you know, discussions, some of them just boring, you know, everyday little policy changes or things that go from year to year. What were some of the buzz topics of discussion, maybe outside of Middle Georgia State's departure from the conference to the NCAA?
Well, it was just it was driven by membership. I mean, you know, we were talking earlier about adding some schools to our league, and that's what the main thing was. There wasn't a lot of important topics to be discussed. I mean, we all talk about finances, you know, NIL stuff, that kind of thing, and the way college athletics is going today. But other than that, it was pretty basic. We didn't set the world on fire with anything. So.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah,
I think we'd be amiss from a fan's perspective. A question that they would want to ask you is, with the settlement that came down through the judges last week, that $2.8 billion settlement on the NCAA side, I believe it was, NCAA, what is the NAI looking on that? What are their thoughts on that?
Well, Jim Carr was there. I mean, he was at our meetings last week. He's the president of NAI and good friend of mine and good friend of a lot of ours here in Hattiesburg because he's from Mississippi.
Sure.
He didn't really want to talk about it that much. He just said there was nothing major coming down the pipe, you know, just – kind of, they're in a kind of a stand back and wait, see what's going to happen, because it's just really kind of, you know, do you believe what you see or not? You know, how's everything going to turn out? That's the thing. So that's kind of what the NAI is looking at right now.
A semi-controversial question. I don't know. Do you think there's an opportunity to gain disenfranchised fans of the higher levels of collegiate athletics, so to speak, that like the game a different way, so to speak?
Well, I mean, it happens all the time. I don't know the answer to that, but it happens all the time. I mean, it doesn't have to be something major to move fans. And as you guys know, you see in our gym all the time. I know there's a lot of people that come to watch our games that we're watching in the other gym that come over here now because of one thing or another.
Sure.
So it's – I really don't know the answer to that, but that's a good question.
And he is Tracy English, Director of Athletics at William Carey University. It's always fun to get to reconvene and talk about the different athletic programs, different headlines that are going on. We didn't even get a chance to really recap all the success that we've seen from golf, track and field, baseball, softball, making the postseasons as well. Just a whole lot of fun going on in William Carey. The fact that by our account, only two, I believe, athletic programs did not make postseason this year.
Sure.
And it's a pretty good reason why. One of them was an inaugural program, and one's only in year two under their latest coach, I believe. So, with that, a whole lot to be excited about on the horizon with William Carey Athletics. And Tracy English, as always, so happy to have you here.
Yes, glad to be here.
All right, well, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this rev share type stuff that was talked about in the House decision and the judgment there, how it could affect William Carey Athletics, and a little bit more. A lot happening over the summer, not just twiddling our thumbs and counting down the days. We've got news. So stick around as we talk more Crusader Talk.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Starting off the show with fried chicken, got into all the happenings of the SSAC and recent hires for Coach English. And where do we go from here?
Well, we go to breaking news with Carey Athletics, as Carey Athletics yet again a top five finish in the Learfield Directors' Cup.
How about it?
So the Learfield Directors' Cup is given to – it recognizes the – I want to get it as official as possible. Of course, 9 years in a row that Carey has been announced as the top athletic program in the Southern States Athletic Conference. So for the fourth time in 5 years, in the top five in the country. So that recognizes – you take all the sports, you apply a point system to that ranking, and in those top five standings, Cumberland's, Kentucky 1, Kaiser 2, Indiana Wesleyan 3, Marion University 4, and there is William Carey. So for people to speak a little bit of Southernese, if you will, to local sports fans, when I tell them I'm working with William Carey, and then they may have heard something, or maybe they haven't, and maybe they've seen a news clip, or they've seen an ad or something, and I say, we're an SEC school in the NAIA. We're at that. It is a elite level program in the NAIA. And once again, the numbers prove that out again this year. I think we were expecting top 10. hopeful for a top five finish, but to be back at number five, that's really, really strong. That speaks to the overall consistency of the program.
It is. It does. And there are a couple really good NAIA programs that have, you know, seen their fair share of appearances in that top five, but Cary's one of those that has been a mainstay. And it's not a byproduct of playing in an easier conference that gets you wins, because that's not how the point system works. It happens whenever you make postseason events and do things in the postseason as well. When you are a winner across the landscape of college athletics, not just within your own little personal bubble, that point system recognizes that and gets you up there. I mean, Cumberland's now, I believe, back-to-back wins in Learfield Director's Cup, but you see their success. You see them making the NAIA World Series. You see them playing for, you know, big games in the men's and women's soccer tournaments. You see them in a couple different events. But you also see William Cary. Again, what we just talked about with Coach English, the fact that Cary only had two different athletics programs, and again, I'll name them just because we know that they're going to be successful on the up-and-coming years. That's beach volleyball and competitive cheer. Those are the only two that did not make it, which in hindsight, what that means is you had men's and women's track, men's and women's tennis, men's and women's basketball, baseball, softball. If I hadn't mentioned the soccer yet, those made it too. Indoor volleyball, swimming, all of these made postseason appearances in the NAIA tournaments.
And then it's where you finish,
yeah.
And then there's points applied to that. For example, I'll just look at fall because it's concise. 184 points from last year. Men's soccer led the way with a third-place finish. That gave them 83 points. Women's soccer with a fifth-place finish, 73. Volleyball totaled 50 points to round out the fall sports, making that national tournament. Now, winter sports totaled 283.5 points, led by men's swimming.
How about it?
That's where I wanted to go with that. And
applause,
men's indoor
Coach
track.
Gonzalez and company.
Men's swimming. Inaugural season, and they led the way with men's indoor track in the point total for that Learfield. So, in a nutshell, if there's no men's swimming this year, it's not another top five finish. And they do it in their inaugural season. And as we know, that's just the start for that program.
It's always fun to look back at the conversations that we've had over the years, just thinking about athletics at William Cary. It's a lot different of an athletics program from what, say, the generation before saw on campus.
Sure.
I believe what we talked about with DJ Pulley when he took over athletics, it went from maybe six athletic programs to whatever it is now, 20, it feels like. It's crazy to see what has occurred, not just in the grand scheme of athletics in college, but at William Cary specifically, how much they're pouring in and their return on investment coming back out. Because you see it not just in, hey, we've got just this random athletics team where we're pouring in more students. No, we have at William Cary big-time schools of education, music, the DO school, all these other things that are just pouring in students.
And then the marketing. Every time as we work these different state championship events with the MHSAA, football, basketball, baseball, and we're watching that Cary championship commercial play over and over and over, and it is a slick, well-produced ad full of all of the celebrations and the banners and the championship trophies and the numbers to back it up with the music and the play-by-play from you, Caleb. It's a phenomenal piece. And when people find out, they have the same kind of a, oh my gosh, where have I been moment. But I think we're getting past that. I think we're turning the corner in the regard of it has been a secret. It's not a secret anymore. A large majority of people are finding out because of the marketing efforts, because of people like Tracy, Dr. Burnett, and so forth, this show and others that are getting out there and putting out the gospel of William Cary Athletics. And so it is a desirable place to come play. If you get them on campus compared to others in the league, there aren't many campuses that match up with William Cary University now. And talking about somewhere else, that is getting better and better every year. As Tracy, during the break before he left, we were talking about all the plans for all the new acreage and new entrance and new this and new parkway and new dorms and this. And eventually in the works in the maybe 5-10 year plan is a new gymnasium or a new arena, so to speak. I mean, sky's the limit.
They can build all these new buildings and new roads. Just don't touch the fried chicken, please.
They will not touch the fried chicken. Yeah, they're not going to do that.
All right. So one thing that is changing, though, and this is kind of outside the scope of William Carey Athletics, but it is related tangentially, and that is that rev share is a thing now in the NCAA and in college athletics. And it, from the early sights of it, does not appear to be going away anytime soon. I doubt it will. But we are entering a new age of college athletics, which we have already been on the cusp of with the giant explosion of NIL, which has basically turned into pay for play. And now it literally is, by nature of the written word, pay for play in this rev share era that we're entering. And so one thing that has happened is you have created in some of the different sports caps of rosters at 34 for baseball, softball, to the point where you can now have fully funded scholarships, not the 11.7 anymore, but you lose some of those roster spots that you used to. I think that it used to be 40 was the cap of your roster. Now it's down to 34. And what we could see,
multiply that times 340, right, times six.
You could see a huge trickle-down effect of guys that all of a sudden do not have a scholarship home for college baseball, college softball, at least in the NCAA. And then it turns into, okay, where do I go? And I'm not trying to preach that the NAIA is just the leftovers of the NCAA Division I, but let's be real here for a moment. You're not going to out-recruit an NCAA Division I school that's offering cold, hard cash. Unless you have this diamond in the rough person that is all about the purity of, you know, amateurism in college athletics and wants the small town feel, small school, you know, high level baseball. I think that exists, but I do think, like I said, they're diamond in the rough. And so what you end up with now is a difference in how recruiting possibly is taking place with NAIA, and I'm talking about baseball because it's just the most recent thing, and that's the sport that I've read the most about of how this impacts it. But it is not just a changing game as it comes to who's on rosters. It's how do you create one? And William Carey, as a matter of fact, is in an odd position here because they have one of the bigger sets of openings to fill from last year to this coming season. A lot of guys graduated last year. Several transfers that came in, played, and now they're gone. And when it comes down to the starting lineup, you may have 2-3 guys that had starts last year that weren't pitchers that are coming back. And you've got to basically rebuild this team from the ground up. And the question comes, who's going to fill it? High schoolers? JUCO transfers? People from Division I that no longer have a home, or people that just decided that school A or B was not for them, and William Carey's the destination now. I don't have an answer for it, and I don't even know that the coaches have answers right now. But it is something that is definitely on the minds of NAIA coaches across the board, not just William Carey.
What does it look like in terms of, I think for me, growing up a fan of smaller Division One, you growing up a fan of the highest level of Division One, smaller level Division Ones are sitting there going, are we basically going to become rookie ball for the larger schools potentially, based on what our salaries are, which is a little tough to even have it come out of my mouth. I'm not a fan. But so then what does that potentially look like for NAIA, but I think NAIA is on every bit of as good of a level as NCAA Division II.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen that for years.
I mean, that's why you see so many people that you go the D2 route as a school. They transition up there just because it's such a, you know, a lateral move in regards to competition levels.
Sure.
But maybe there's some added benefits of, you know, travel or a difference of governance that they like better, possible conference that they like more. But, yeah, I mean, it's very comparable.
Real quick, though, if with the new NCAA rulings, could you see NCAA schools potentially coming back to NAIA because of the ruling, or is it not going to affect Division II as much, in your opinion?
I don't foresee it causing a trickle-down effect of that. I do think there could be some individual player-type decisions that change as a result of that, but I don't necessarily think that there's going to be a transition from a school association standpoint, unless for some reason it's just a better fit in some other regards. But I don't know that rev share is going to make an impact on that. But I could be wrong. Who knows? Stranger things have happened, for sure.
Sure.
All right. When we come back, final dotting of the I and crossing the T. I haven't even mentioned the fact that Kerry won the SSAC Commissioner's Cup. We'll recap that coming up next.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, final segment with you on Crusader Talk. I mentioned it before the break, SSAC Commissioner's Cup, once again in the clutches of William Carey. Josh alluded to it's the ninth straight year. It just kind of feels like old hat at this point, doesn't it?
Right, and I think to quote Ben is that, hey, we can't take these for granted. We need to celebrate them. I think it'd be great to get Ben on soon, and we ran out of time with Tracy. Get Ben on to kind of talk about some of that as well. And, you know, I want to hear, I know he's already got ideas. What is some of that signage going to look like? What is some of that advertising going to look like? How are we going to be able to lean into that going into the fall and into the 25-26 year? Because we've got some things to crow about. And you've just given Dr. Burnett, who is out and about always speaking somewhere to some large group of people, you've given him just more arrows for the quiver to be able to, you know, crow about what is going on, because it is unprecedented, the successes that Kerry is having right now consistently year after year. And Tracy wouldn't say it with Wendy, but you notice how he was saying, yeah, she's going to just take it up. Take it up. Well, the only thing up's a national championship. I was thinking.
Her last game was a championship game.
Wendy, we're not putting that on you. Wendy, we're not putting that on you. But yet, is it totally a realistic expectation? Of course. They had multiple World Series trips, just almost there every year, and then they played in that championship game. So to say that a World Series championship is certainly in play, a lot of things have to go right. You got to have a little luck. You've got to be super talented. You got to stay healthy. Yes. But is that going to be an expectation that might not be just outright like talked about outside of the locker room?
Yeah.
But I think in short order, that will be an expectation for that program as she builds the type of people around her and the young ladies in that program. Absolutely. Absolutely. They're not that far off right now. They were almost in the World Series last year. Year before last, when I say last year,
right.
Year before last, they were right there. Winning run was in scoring position when the final out was made against the team that won it or got to the championship game. Got to the championship game.
I want to say.
So that's how close they were to a top two, top three finish 2 years ago.
Yeah. So no pressure for it to happen in year one of the return of Wendy Hogue, but as the Beach Boys said, wouldn't it be nice? All right, so just thinking, a final thought that I had lingering about rev share and all that. We asked Coach English if he thinks that there's any inkling that things of that nature are coming to the NAIA anytime soon. First thing that came to my mind is, well, sure, if you put it in right now as an institutional thing that you share in the revenue, by all means, charge every player that wants to play the game, because there are very few programs that are making a profit in the NAIA. There's a lot of sunken costs there. You get $4 from the concession stand, you get $4 from the concession stand, and you get $4. Yeah, that's about what it would be for a lot of them out there, if that. And so that was just one of the floating thoughts.
Don't we have revenue share right now. Isn't it called work study?
Ah, that's it. That's it.
When they come and work the concession stand.
Or the live stream or anything else like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, literally. Yeah, no, it takes an army to run these events. And our athletes, it's fun to get to see our other athletes out of season working the different events. That's a lot of fun.
And that's the thing that I think goes unnoticed or unappreciated, even by me sometimes, is that that's when we kind of really get to know some of these athletes at a personal level.
Sure.
Yeah, we don't always get to – there's not a figurative batting cage around soccer that we get to all just hang out and you chat about stories of old and, you know, how'd you get here and all these things. That's between innings for the person operating the stream to your right at baseball or softball or, you know, the side conversation between games of a doubleheader down at the concession stand. It's fun stuff like that that – make work study a fun thing for us to be a part of as broadcasters. Man, just thinking ahead, we've got still a whole another month to go as we wind down the summer months. But you're right that it feels like just looming, just right over the – like heating up your neck like the hot summer sun as you mow the grass on a Saturday. It feels like the season is right there and you can feel it. But, man – I'm looking forward to men's soccer. Coach Owens is going to send me the women's soccer schedule coming up. We'll see how many of those days align and how many days total that I'm going to be spending over there at his namesake field, because it feels like I'm about to have to get a timeshare over at Dr. Burnett's place just to cut down on the commute.
Forward it to me just so I've got a couple of those fill-in dates on my schedule.
You were going to help Clayton and I, because there is a stretch of – it feels like every other day for 2 weeks that there's soccer going on that playing surface. So with all that said, the schedules are dropping, you know, one by one as the summer continues on. You can check all those out at carryathletics.com. One other headline I didn't get to, this also came from the Southern States very recently, and that is a partnership with the Urban Edge Network that will be providing the coverage for all SSAC championship games, all free. No more paywall.
Woo-hoo.
For the SSAC championship. So whenever men's and women's basketball are out there in Montgomery, if you can't make it out there, worry not. You can watch it for free. We like free. I like free. Do you like free?
I like free. I also like going to cover the games as well.
Right.
So we've got to get on the ball with our
We'll get the graphic for Sync My Game to turn down the broadcast or turn up the radio, whatever it is. What did Deuce McAllister or whoever say for the Saints radio all the time?
The Saints radio, yeah.
Yeah, so turn down the sound on your TV and turn the radio
on. Turn up the Saints Radio Network.
There it is. But turn on the Cary Sports Network whenever it's championship season. So that'll do it for us on this edition of Crusader Talk. Our thanks to Coach Tracy English, Director of Athletics Tracy English, that is, for Dalton Stanford running the board, and my co-host Josh West. I'm Caleb Hamill saying good night, God bless, and go Saders.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.